there's a lack of vision. There's a lack of vision of what the truth really is. A lack of vision among us, maybe the possibility of what the church is and what Christ come and brought to us and what the Lord wants us to have in unity of believers. Or do you have a vision? Do you have a vision today? A real strong vision. Because the Scripture says, without a vision, the people perish. That's a serious thought. Without a vision, the people perish. Why do they perish? Think about it. Why do people perish without a vision? Without direction? Without understanding? Without knowing which way is right? With an acceptance of all that kind of things as being right? Is it not obvious that without a vision, the people will perish? Because they don't know where to go. They don't know what to say no to or what to respond to. Lord, help us today to get a vision. I'm not talking about a vision that men's created of their own thinking about what man ought to be, but a vision of what God brought to us. What did He bring to us? He brought to us a church that He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is not mixed with all the ideas of the world. This is pure. It's from heaven. This is the way to live life. We say, how do I know how to do it? It's going to take a vision to me to walk pure before the Lord. I say, Lord, I know You want me to walk holy because Your Bible teaches me that. And I need a vision of that, not to corrupt it with all the ways of the world. I need a vision of what's right and true without a vision. Without direction, a view. This is I like to think about it with parameters. This is the course of my life, Lord. And I'm not going to vary outside the parameters that You've made for me to walk in. I see that, Lord. I see that. Without it, there's all kind of manner of things that begins to be introduced to a person's thinking. You pray for us today. The Scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. This is the ones that it has been revealed to. The vision of God through the prophets has come down and revealed it. It's used as a vision because now there's a something I can see. I can view it. I can understand it. And then those that do it, happy is he. Those are God's children now frolicking in His pastures and saying, thank God for the good way of God. And I see it clearly where brethren can dwell in unity, where we can all get along and we see it the same way. And why? Because I got a vision of what right is. I got a vision of what God's expectation for my life is. And I want to keep that vision. I appreciate the saints. I love the saints. I love to be with the saints. Wherever the saints are gathered, that's where I want to be. Because I love the saints. I get encouraged when I'm down simply by coming in amongst the saints. I don't know. Why is that, Brother Gordon? Do you know why that is? It just seemed like even this meeting, I felt it again. I'm kind of down. We've been busy and all that. And I thought, in my mind, I'm getting to thinking, well, what kind of meeting am I going to be dragging in like this? And then I come in, and then I see this brother, and then I see that brother, and then I talk to this brother, and the first thing you know, I'm just ready to go. This is where I ought to be. And why was I thinking the way I was? I'm home now. This is so good to be among God's people. Got to get a vision. This is God's people. It's what He wants us to dwell together. Yeah, I was in sectism for a while. And I'm going to tell you what. When they sing them old songs like I've left, and about Wall 131 was mentioned today. I can raise my hand to that. And number 3 in our book, long scattered thy children, O Zion have been. Oh, that's me. Lord, thank you for bringing me among God's people. No better place to be in all the world than right with God's people. Do you have a vision of God's blood-washed ones all dwelling together, loving God? You know, we get so wrapped up and we'll get to debating because there's no vision. We'll get to debating about all these little petty things about what we ought to be doing and all of this and that. And they're petty because it's so much more than that. Oh, those ought to be the friends. Those things ought to be, of course I'll do that. Of course I'm going to dress modestly. Of course I'm going to go to service. Of course I'm going to... You don't need to argue about that with me. I love the saints. I love to be this way. As soon as I looked and said, that's my people, that's just the way I'm going to be. Because I've got a vision of what God wants me to be among this thing. Lord, help us today to get a good, strong vision of what God has brought down in holiness. You believe the church is pure today? I believe Jesus is going to come back for a bride that don't have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Because the Bible says that. Well, where is He going to find that at? He's going to have to find it with us. And don't you believe that the Lord wants His people to dwell together in unity? Well, sure He does. You got that vision? What's going to cause that? We can have a lack of mind. What's our mind like? Like Christ? You think Christ was fooling around in trivialities? No, Jesus was above all that stuff. I need to get a vision of what God wants me to be doing and go far exceed above those kind of things. You think the Lord wants us to be talking behind our backs about one another? No, I don't see that in this vision. I don't see that in this vision. I see a vision of a church of where people are dying for one another if it takes it. Brother, I love you and I'll give my life for you. That's what Jesus did. And He's what He wants us to do too. And I see in my the vision of the church was a people, no matter what the ridicules are, as a people that love other people, all people. And want everybody to be saved and are willing to give that it happened. Because I've got a vision. You know, that's never left me. I still see that just that way. You know, you can go to the Monarch meeting and be discouraged if you want to go see something. But you get you a vision. And you'll go see something different. That's the truth. A vision will keep you from that. If you don't have a vision, the Bible says without a vision, the people are going to perish. Why? Because you're going to be influenced by everything that's moving out there. You don't think this world's got some things moving? There's all kind of things out there to move. I thank God that I got a vision of the church. I got a vision of what God wants me to, my parameters. Lord, I'm confident right here in this little place. I was looking at another scripture over in Colossians. Second chapter of Colossians. I'm going to pick up the sixth verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. And established. Now Lord help us. Established. I know that there is a time for questioning. And if you got an honest heart, you just question all you want to question. But I get real curious when I see somebody that's been in the way for 40 years and start questioning about things that ought to have been settled a long time ago. The Lord don't want us wishy-washy about this stuff. The Lord wants us to have a vision. Wants us to have a view. I know where my parameters are at. Lord, I dealt with this through carefulness and patient experience of myself. And a careful examination of these scriptures and of myself. Years ago, I fought these battles. Years ago, I established in my heart how I'm going to walk. And now, I see it all across the lands. I see different ones. Been there a long, long time starting to ask questions. Lord, help us. Starting to wonder about all these kind of things. I'm going to tell you something. Something that means something to me, and possibly it does to somebody else here. I said I love the saints. I love them. The ones I know now and the ones I've known that's went on. I have great regard for some of the men and women that I've looked at and seen the Spirit of God in their lives. And the devotions and the convictions of their heart that they lived by and died by in my presence to hand me a kind of faith that they had. I have a great appreciation for that. And for me to come back years later and question that as I've settled it years ago in my life is to bring a reproach against the memory that I have of them. To begin to question, well, he must have been, if I'm seeing it different now, he must have been a real fanatic. He held some of those lines so close. This says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. I know there's a time for questions, but I want to tell you, there's a time to be established in faith. There's a time to know my parameters. Listen, I fought the devil on these things. I haven't had to fight for my faith in this thing, and I established it somewhere in the Lord, and this is what it means to me right here. And I know my parameters now. I got a vision of what this thing's going to be and what it means to me, and I'm not moving outside my box here. I'm not changing. We'll say, well, that's fanatic. That's stubborn not to move. We're in a different world now. Trying to tell us all kind of things out there. Trying to move us all kind of different directions. Trying to push us this way and push us this way and draw us this way and draw us that. And what used to be wrong is not wrong. And what we used to say is right is not right. But this says rooted. The roots go down deep and they get a hold of something. You know what roots do? Not only do they nourish, but they hold the tree in place. Go try to move one. That's what he's talking about. The Lord don't want you moved. The Lord wants you to get a hold of the vision that he brought through Christ of holiness and righteousness and a living right and a hope of heaven and anchor into that thing. Bulldogged, determinist, stubborn as a mule. I am not moving off of this ground. You say, well, Brother Marty, you're stuck in an old-fashioned way. That's right. I'm stuck in an old-fashioned way. I'm going just the way Brother Austin went, and Brother Clifford went, and Brother Salmons went. Got my feet set right on the same ground they was. And you know what? I don't intend to move from it by God's grace. Because I got a vision of something that worked for some men. I seen some people that trusted in God with their life and had glory on their face when they went out into eternity. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to go that way. If you would favor me in my desire, Lord, I want to go the way they've gone. I want to have grace in my life to be able to say, Lord, I'm trusting you all the way. Take me. I want to live that way. And those that went before us have said it too. Rooted and built it up in him and established in the faith. As you have been taught. Taught by who? The apostle was laying to these people of those faithful men that went before them. As you have been taught. As you have viewed and seen. As the vision that God has brought to you. You have been taught in this way. Be dogged about it now. Be determined. This is right. The God of vision. Devil trying to move it, but I still got it. Lord help us. It says, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Think about all the things that are out there. Oh, just want to give, I suppose, a little challenge and a little warning. Because I'm interested in souls. I'm interested in us making heaven. See, from time to time, people don't have a vision. And they go along and seem to do pretty well, and just now something comes along. It can be anything. Just about anything. Something comes along of a new idea. That looks pretty good. That looks pretty good. I think I'll try that. I think I'm going to do that. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, wouldn't you all just be a little skeptical? I'm not getting into a particular issue. But wouldn't you be just a little skeptical if you went out here after service and I had a big necktie on? Now, wouldn't you just be a little skeptical and said, you know, I thought Brother Marty ought to settle that. He's been preaching for a few years now. He's been saying some things to us. I thought he'd have settled a matter like that. You know, if you don't have a vision, what difference does it make? If there's no vision about what it's really about, what I'm really directing my whole energies to, what I'm all putting my into, then I'm going to try all kinds of things. There's an old saying that says, if you don't believe, stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Well, that's about the way it is. Without a vision that this, now hear me, this is right. You got something in your life that you can say, this is right, then you got something. And if you don't have something that you can positively say, this is right. This is what I'm giving myself to. This is the way I'm going. Then there's going to always be something come along. One fella I know said that the Lord told him, that it's right for a man, ought to have a beard. So now he goes around with a beard. It's all right by me, brother. It's all right by me. But you better be careful just how easy you move. See what I'm saying? I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but now you're trying to promote it. Everybody ought to have one. Okay? Well, I believe in something. I believe in something. I'm not saying that I don't want the place. Of course I want the Lord to be able to move and work with me. But what I'm saying is I have a vision of something. I have a vision of a people. And I've seen people die in faith. And I've got a belief about that. And it's valuable to me. Valuable. I ought to be moved about it. Somebody else recently was talking about, well, it's the same people in one sense, was saying about shouldn't eat pork. Okay, don't eat it. Nobody ought to do it. Well, maybe they oughtn't. I don't know how good it is for you. But you believe in something. See what I'm saying? How easy it is to be moved by something. I know people that seem to go along pretty good and they'll go to the bookstore and get a book. That's all it takes. All it takes is some sectarian view in a book. And now I'm going to go against 100 whatever years of the saints and 2,000 years of good, solid living. I got something here. How would you all feel if I started, now you know I'm not, how would y'all feel about if I started telling you, I got some new light on the tongue stains? Y'all be skeptical. Because you expect better. You do. You expect better. We expect something solid and unmovable. The faithful of ours has lived through the generations and knows what it means. And they've handed it down and I believe that. I saw their life. Godly men, dedicated men to prayer and to fasting and to good living. Open to God, honest to the movings of God. And now I'm going to shame them by saying, you ought to know what you're talking about when you interpreted that. See what I'm saying? Lord, help us in our vision. What God has put the parameters on. Do you believe that the Lord has a church? You believe that? Do you believe it's the mixture of all denominationalism, right? That's not the way it was taught. That's not what I embraced. All blood-washed ones. I believe God's church. I believe He has one. But this says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. You know what spoil means? Well, you can spoil a child. But what this means spoil is, you know, old days was after they routed you, they come and took all your stuff. Beware lest of any man take your stuff. Start stealing your faith. Steal your foundations. Take away from you the honor that you've given to honorable people. The devil's going to try to steal that away. Going to try to make them look. There'll be a rumor. They will even start a rumor sometimes about people being gone a long time ago. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit. Amen. Before we left, I was at home one day and I got a piece of mail. It was a little pamphlet trying to encourage parents how to teach their children not to smoke, not to become smokers. Well, that's honorable enough. I appreciate that. In this little pamphlet, there was a series of questions in there, all geared towards a parent and a child having, opening up a conversation, being able to talk about some things. And so the parent was supposed to fill out one, and the teenager, 15-year-old teenager, supposed to fill out the other. And it had questions on there and it was supposed to be answered by checking in a box sometimes, or never. And then it had these questions, 25 or so of them. Questions like, should they ever be allowed to sneak into an R-rated movie? Should they always be allowed to do it? Sometimes or never. And of course I said, no, never. And then there was another question. Should they be allowed to stay out all night with friends that you don't know? Never. Then here is it. Should they be allowed to kiss their boyfriend? or a girlfriend. Ever. Should they be allowed? Never. Just down the line, 25 times. When I got through at the end of it, I had answered 25 straight questions. Absolutely not. Never. And you know what? I got accused over that. The devil accused me over that. I actually said, is that the way? The devil said, is that the way you are? You just, really not on everything. And you know, I actually felt accused. I actually felt some guilt until I realized what that was about. And I said, devil, you're a liar. This is the truth. No, it's wrong. These things are wrong 25 in a row. I don't care if it's 100 in a row. Wrong's wrong. And I'm not giving in to the devil just because I have to say no 25 straight times. Or 50 straight times. Or 200 straight times. No is no right down the line. Over and over and over again. But the devil will accuse you and say, you oughtn't be like that. You're being too hard on your children. You know, should they ever be allowed to sneak into an R-rated movie? No. They should never be allowed to. For one thing, they don't need to watch that garbage. And for two, you're cheating. You're stealing. You're not allowed to do that. You've got to pay for things. See what I'm saying? And the devil wants to suppose that we can... Oh, well, sometimes it would be okay. The Lord help us. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. If we don't really believe in what we're doing and where we're going, the accusations are going to say, well, I'll have to give in a little bit to be conformed to something. What am I being conformed to? The world? Is that what I'm trying to do? What is sectism trying to do? Conform to the world? I don't want none of that either. But I have a vision. Something more than that. I had it. And the Lord, help us to be able to see what you really want us to do. Where is the parameters that you've given? But this says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. These were intelligent people that wrote this pamphlet. They were. They wasn't necessarily advocating anything. But I went ahead and read it. Can't say I agreed with the view of it. Why? Because it was just the world. That's all it was. But you know, they did say something in that that was interesting. They didn't have a real good reason for telling teenagers not to smoke. But they did say this, and this was real curious to me. They did say, the reason the studies have found that people that it's a jumping off point. They found out that people that do marijuana smoke cigarettes first. It's an association. I said, well, boy, they really come up with something wise now, didn't they? There's an association with evil. Of course there is. Of course there is. And they finally determined something. Do you know people that drink and smoke marijuana smoke cigarettes first? Almost always, the studies say. Well, go figure. We knew that a long time ago. I tell you what, I can go one step before that. Your children get involved with the world's friends in the world that's going to do that stuff. That's the first step that they take before they even smoke. And then they smoke and then they go. It's not rocket scientist here. It's pretty easy to see. But we want to have a vision above all that. And people come and say, well, why is this wrong? Why is that wrong? I've got a real good reason why it's wrong. There's an association and a job. What? My uncle said to my grandmother one time, said, "You can't, Mom, you can't tell me that you can honestly say that drinking one beer is bad. One beer is going to hurt you." And my grandmother said, "No, I can't. But no one ever drank two before they drank one." That's right. Nobody ever did the two before the one. The starting off always started. Beware that any man spoil you through philosophy. You think it's going to come with some gigantic thing? No. It's going to come subtly. It's going to come as close as it can to the truth. Starting off with it will. It'll look real good to start off with. You know, you don't have to do that like that. Well, you can lengthen that. You can shorten that. You can change that. You don't have to be that way. Where you going, brother? Where you going? I've got a philosophy for you. I've got a new view. I've got some light here. You got the same old life sectism had 100 years ago. That's all you got. Lord, help us have a vision. A true vision of the church. I want to look at another scripture in Ephesians. I don't want to sound harsh or rushed or rough, but I want to tell you what I want to sound like. I want to sound like this means something to me. Because it means something to me. I want to hold on to it. I want to see it grow. I don't want to see any more of our people leaving off on some kind of vain philosophy. Getting a hold of something that never was any good. So Lord, help us. In Ephesians 4, I'll see if I can get the right scripture. I think it's 12. 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There comes in that understanding again, the vision. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye henceforth be no more children. Children change their minds so much, can't they? Immaturity. Well, we expect it out of children. We don't expect it out of grown-ups. There's things my children do I expect my children to do. Just about every night when my wife says it's time for bed, both my little children start crying. I expect it. Because they're little children. I don't expect to see that out of somebody 40 years old. It's time to grow up. It's time to be rooted. It's time to be established. It's time to know what you mean and be unmovable about it. It's time to say, this is where I've put, this is where I cast my lot. And this is where I'm going. Lord has given me a definite direction in my life, a way to get me to heaven, and this is the way I mean to go until I end this thing out. The Lord taught me that it is right to trust in Him. And I believe it. He's proved it over and over. And by His grace, I mean to make that the end thing I do in this world is trust God. And this says that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men. Oh, do you know what that's talking about? It's talking about a ship out on an ocean that don't have any rudder. It has no steering mechanism. It has no parameters. It's guided by one force and one force only. It's the way the wind blows. If the wind blows it to the rocks, it'll crash. If it blows it to the sea, it'll be lost. It don't have any manner of course or direction of its own at all. It just goes however the wind blows. And oh, there are so many doctrines out there and so many philosophies and so many views of Christianity and non-Christianities and a way to live and what's right and the way to do out there in our world blowing. And there's people out there that just like a ship on the sea. That makes sense to me. Did you hear what they said? Well, that makes total sense. And away they go. Rocking there with the waves and in danger of their own destruction and thinking it's right. But this scripture here is saying more than that. Don't be children anymore. Get some direction. What do you intend to do with your life? You got one. I got one life. I'm going to have to live it the best I know. I'm going to have to give something to it. Come among the saints. June will make 20 years. I don't regret a day of it. Come among the saints, and I walked into the first camp meeting. Had never been there before. Come into the first camp meeting and sat down. What a strange lot of people this is. Sat down there and amongst them saints, and they started singing. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I said, oh no. This is the truth. Something started witness to me and I didn't like it. In a way I didn't like it. Because I started looking. These people got something. And it started, I got a vision of something. I got a hold of something that means something to me. And I don't want to lose it. Well, this scripture here says that that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, there must be something out there that's moving. There is. The devil's out to change us, to alter us. I was reminded as I meditated on these thoughts of a scripture where Jesus said, "Will I find faith upon the earth?" I'm going to come back. Will I find faith? And it's a challenging scripture because the Lord said that. Will I find faith? Lord, help us. I think the Lord's going to find some faith. But is He going to find it in me? Things are changing around us. They are changing around us. Things are different around us than what they were 20 years ago. People's views, not everybody, but a lot of views are starting to be altered. There's questions being asked by people now that I never thought would be asking those questions. Questioning is good, but there's a time to have it settled too. Long since past, settled this issue. I'm not going down that road. I've got this settled. Lord, help us today that when henceforth you be no more children, tossed, just accepting, willing to accept. And I want to tell you something that this gets down to. I believe that there is a justice in all of this, because in everybody's life, we do what we really want to do. Down in our heart, we go towards the things that we really want to go. And when righteousness and holiness loses its appeal to our lives, and we begin to look towards something of the fascination of the world, we'll begin to question only to be able to do it. Only be able to get something else. When our vision becomes dim over the parameters that God has set in the church of God and what it really means to be saved and what it really means to be unified together as a body of believers going on for God, we'll begin to look for something else. Something else is going to take preeminence in our hearts. And we're going to be start leaning towards that preeminence. We're going to start asking questions now. Well, why can't I do that? Why can't I do it? Why can't I look a little bit more like the world? Why can't I accept some of the things that the world's doing? I want to tell you that in our political systems, tossing to and fro is one of the main things you do. You just go from whatever you can pull a vote from or get a contribution from. But it's not like that in the church. It's not like that on our way to heaven, folks. This is about being rooted down. This is about getting a vision of God and what He wants me to do and hanging on to that thing. The Bible in more than one places teaches us expedience, folks. The word expedience means profitable advantage. In this battle we fight, only those that take advantage of everything they can take advantage of is going to make it. That's a fact. You're not going to make it by being wishy-washy. That's why Apostle Paul said all these things are lawful. He was talking about indifferent things. These are lawful for me, but they're not expedient. I don't get the most advantage out of this to my soul or to the souls of others, and therefore I don't do it. And it's the mind of the saints all the way down through careful, patient examination of what we're doing. And that causes, oh, what carefulness it wrought in you. What vehement desire, what zeal worked in you. What was the motive of your life? That vision, I've got a God. The vision that I have of the church. Oh, without a vision, the people perish. Of course they perish. They have no direction. They'll go to one thing and to the other. Whatever feels good looks good. Whatever makes it seem right. We ain't out for numbers, folks. We never have been. Sure, God wants everybody saved that can, but God never gives a number over the quality of the thing. As a matter of fact, he sacrificed the Egyptians and the Assyrians. He did. And you know, he'll sacrifice groups of people too to hold the valuable truth and the vision of that truth. And now, 2005, and we face the issues of our day. We are in an ungodly, undressed world. They're trying to promote alternative lifestyles and all kind of hideous things. I heard just the other day, just a touching story of a woman that found out that she was going to have triplets. That'd be a chore, but it'd be fun. It's a heritage of the Lord. Thank the Lord for the children. But you know what she said? I can't handle three children. And so she asked the doctor, is it possible to abort two? Yeah, possible. You can do that. And the father of the children's there saying, as he seen the little bleeps of their hearts, he said, well, wait a minute now. We can take care of all of them. And the mother said, that's why they leave the choice to the woman. Because a man would make that decision. So she aborted two of her children. Now you're going to have to live with the idea. I wonder what that one that lived would think, knowing the other two had to die. There's something wrong with all that. And the world trying to promote to our thinking and desensitize us with all of those kind of things. It's wrong. It's always wrong. It's going to be wrong. And it goes from the time, and you all be patient, it goes back to a place where women got out of their roles as mothers. God-given, God-created mothers and keepers at home. And they got out of the order, and that's what happens. And there's an order. And I got a vision of something. And included into that vision is an old teaching that the church has taught for a long, long time about that. It's still beautiful. And it's still right. And it still protects. And it's within the boundaries of what God wants. Outside of this, I want to tell you folks, outside of this is heartaches. It says the people will perish. They perish for knowledge. They perish for understanding. They perish for perimeters to keep them in a holy, righteous area in their life till everybody can frolic and be freed to be who you are. And don't have to be ashamed about that. I'm saved. I'm cleaned. You all don't know my past, and you don't need to, because Jesus cleaned me up. That's all you need. You can be assured of that. The blood works. I got a vision of something. And I want the world to know this, but I'm not willing to compromise one bit of it. Because it's going to cause destruction to anybody that even come to it. Because the people will perish without a vision. And again, that is a revelation from God of what this really is. This thing that we believe is not a making of our own creation. This is not man-made. No man could ever come up with such a plan as this. But it's real. It's real. This scripture says that henceforth ye be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It just breaks my heart sometimes to see it. To see someone that was established and doing well, then to come to that place that they're willing to just disregard. What are you doing? What are you doing? Just being moved. Being moved off. You know, I don't believe that anymore. You don't believe it anymore? Well, what happened? I don't believe that old way anymore. Oh, there is so many inroads. Do you believe that there's sectism? That sectism means a part of, or a piece broken off. It's severed. It's division. Same words. You know, back in the history of the saints, they taught a lot against sectism. Not against the people. Against the organization. Sectism. It's divided the people of God. It's divided people into these little cliques and things that never was in it. And most of the time, if anybody prospers in it, it's in spite of it, not cause of it. They fight against it to have to keep themselves. But there's a better message than that. There still is a right way. Lord, help us today to have a good, clear vision. And I want to say to you today, if you can't handle the winds, stay inside. Don't go reading everything that comes along if you can't handle everything that comes along. Don't involve yourself into it if you can't handle that kind of a thing. Careful and patient examination of what I am in my life. I want to be found faithful in this. I don't want to jump just on everything that's coming and going. Lord, give me something. I want to keep it. I want to be one that comes at the end of it and hands back to the Lord what He gave me. That's our, here, Lord, and bring it back to You. Done the best I could with it. Every one of us is going to have to face God with this. I pray today that if you don't have a good vision of God, of what Christ done for you, of where you're going, a good vision of what the church is, and like I said earlier, you want to go to Monarch and be discouraged, you can go and see the church. It's anything you want to. That don't mean it make it so. You need a good vision. It don't discourage me to see that. I don't get challenged with those things because I know where I'm at. If you don't have a good vision of those things, seek God for a good vision of it. And above all these things, seek God for a good vision of the parameters in your own life. This is what I believe. I found it to be true. Work with it until God shows you this is it. And then that's it. God revealed this to me. Now I don't have to fight with it. I don't have to argue with it. You'll come debate some of these issues until you're blue in the face of me and you're not moving me anywhere, because I've already settled this with Jesus. Me and Jesus settled these things a long time ago. Right after I was first saved, Lord dealt with me about something, and after that I've had nightmares. I used to have nightmares. Oh, I used to run around just all kinds of things when I was in the world. And after I got saved, I'd have these dreams. It'd be nightmares. I'd be in my hometown of Webster Springs, and I'd be sneaking around the corners because I had a t-shirt on. I mean, I was dressed all, but I had a t-shirt on. And in my dream, it was almost a nightmare because I'm naked here in town. And I'd be sneaking around the corner trying to make it to my car so I could get something on me because I was naked. You don't argue with me about those kind of things because it's settled in my heart. It already settled that kind of a thing. I know where it's at. Lord, help us today to have a vision and be solid. Oh, I want to see some steadfastness. Didn't bring out all the scriptures, but there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible about being steadfast. One scripture says, steadfast and unmovable. Always abounding, I think it says. Lord, help us today. You pray for me.